everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, do you realize a year ago today we had almost 2 inches of rain in Tucson? It was a very nice rain. It was kind of an all-night rain kicking off the monsoon.
Just a polite rain.
Yeah. But it was very nice, and one of my Facebook friends reminds me today saying, don't worry, Bill, we will get, he's pretty much guaranteeing rain within a week because he said he has seen the June bugs. So that,
okay.
I guess that means it's coming.
Well, the Weather Service is saying there's a slight chance starting Monday and lasting through most of next week.
Okay, well, June bugs now. Friday, June 30th, 2017 edition of the Buckmaster Show. The good people here at KVOI do re-air our Friday edition. We were re-airing at 4 in the afternoon. We're now on at 7 a.m. Saturday morning, so there you go. We are live normally Monday through Friday on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, noon to 1. Friday we do a media partner shout-out. TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith is the editor-publisher. Dylan, thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
We are supported by Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and David Morales's blog, The Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview, Democratic State Senator Steve Farley from District 9. Senator Farley recently made it official, becoming a candidate for governor. He'll challenging Senator Farley in the Democratic primary will be ASU Education Professor Dr. David Garcia, who ran unsuccessfully in 2014 for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, along with Dylan Smith in studio. Rather close quarters here, but we can certainly handle it at KVOI. Joe Ferguson is with us. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Joe is a political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Senator Farley, how are you?
Doing well, although you rubbed it in about the rain there at the beginning. It's awful dry out there.
Yeah, you've been here how many years in town? When did you come to town?
22 years.
Yeah, you've never seen it this
no,
hot.
No, this is, and it
June
does,
is going to
you don't
go
even
in.
See the little clouds on the horizon in the
right.
Southeast area.
No,
and it's just, and the humidity isn't up yet.
Nope.
Although I've heard it's the cicadas, not the June bugs that do
it. Is that
it? First cicada call plus 3 weeks.
Oh,
and that would
I
make
see.
It July 6th from what I heard at first.
Okay, so I don't really know what a June bug is, but...
June bug in particular or just the bugs of June?
At
breakfast this morning, I almost stepped on a couple of scorpions, so that's a sure sign that something is brewing.
Yeah. Senator Farley, I believe you were with us in April right before the big announcement, and you were very close to saying right here on the show, yeah, I'm in.
He was already talking about it in the present tense, kind of slipping up.
Walk carefully, yeah, not always successfully.
Yeah, try to give us a little exclusive, but we were very close. How has it gone so far?
It's gone extremely well.
Are you putting mileage on the old
I'm
car?
I'm putting a whole lot of mileage on the car. I've been going back and forth doing days like having breakfast, speaking to 100 people in Sedona, lunch, speaking to 100 people in Flagstaff, dinner, speaking to 100 people in Phoenix. That was one of my days a couple weeks ago. I've been down all over Santa Cruz County, Cochise County, been up to Winslow. Been over to Yuma.
How about Lake Havasu City?
Getting up there. I'm actually creating an event right there right now.
Are you really?
Because there are people out there who are ready for change. And I've actually been encouraged by seeing and hearing how much the Tea Party is actually talking about some of the issues I'm talking about, too.
Hmm.
The Elgin Tea Party is just as exercised about Ducey in the legislature as I am. And their reason is that they're tired of having them pass on costs they should be taken care of to counties and cities, and then the counties and cities have to raise taxes.
Is the governor as popular as he would like us to believe in this state?
He's never gotten an approval rating higher than 49%. And he's the third most anonymous governor in the country, according to the Pew Charitable Trust, that looks at all the popularity ratings of governors side by side in their own states. Mm. So I think they like to create the vibe that they're popular. Mm-hmm. But he's focused 100% on being the next president of the United States, not being the governor of Arizona.
All right.
Part of why he spent last weekend with the Koch brothers in Colorado Springs.
Let's bring Dylan in, and then we'll get to Joe.
That raises a quick question. I want to dig more into your campaign, but how can Ducey be have aspirations for national office if he is that unknown here in this state even?
Well, he got the cover of the National Review, and when he signed the voucher bill, the first three and only three congratulatory tweets he got were from Jeb Bush, Betsy DeVos, and Grover Norquist, the guy that wants to shrink government to the size you can drown in the bathtub. That's his audience. It really is clear to most people who are looking at it, and that's why I've gotten some support from Phoenix business Republicans who feel like they're being shut out of the ninth floor because they're from Arizona, and that's not his audience. Everything he's doing is carefully scripted. His communications guy writes his talking points, and he never wavers from them. And when he's challenged in the media, they send out Daniel Scarpinato's communications guy to counter. They never send him to counter. So he's very carefully playing the governor part and reading the talking points. But that's not good enough for people in Arizona. We're pretty independent stock here, and we would much rather have somebody who levels with us and cares about being governor.
Joe Ferguson.
You're well known for transportation issues. Why don't we have three lanes from here to Phoenix? What's killing us?
That's a challenge. They're working on it, and I was able to work actually with Andy Biggs to get some of the more recent widenings through on I-10 to be able to get some of that stuff in place. They're working now on the area around Picacho with that curve, and then the area under I-8. They're working on that one also. But the real stumbling block is on the northern end as it goes through the Salt River Reservation. And the tribe has had trouble with negotiations with the state. And there have been some ongoing crises. And now that ADOT is building the South Mountain Freeway, that's not helping things at all. So the Salt and the Gila haven't been happy with any of that stuff happening that way. And those negotiations, I think, have been stalled. I've been trying to actually work with Senator Bob Worsley, who's from Mesa, to have conversations with Governor Rowe up there. And we've met a couple times because I think part of what it takes is just listening and hearing both sides and figuring it out. Because ultimately, if we were able to get that stretch to three lanes in each direction as opposed to the two that it currently is, the tribes are going to benefit as well as the people going back and forth on that, because that's a really dangerous stretch.
Joe's just asking because he got stuck in traffic last week, right?
Well, anyone who goes that way gets stuck in traffic. That's the thing.
In order for you to, for your campaign to really resonate and continue to resonate up until folks start voting in over a year, education has to be a big issue. Will it continue to be a front burner issue with the Arizona voters when they are ready to vote?
There's no question, because I don't see any big boost of education funding anywhere in the near future with this governor and this legislature. Remember, the governor said that he was going to increase teacher salaries. He was finally going to pay teachers what they were worth, and his proposal was 0.4%. That was $15 a month before taxes or deductions, where one teacher said to me, I'm really excited. I can go to the movies by myself once a month now. That wasn't impressing most teachers, and it shouldn't be, because it would take a 7% raise to get us from 50th in the country to 49th in average teacher salary. And with teachers leaving at 44% after 2 years, we're in a crisis there. We got to get our teachers retained. We have a crisis building renewal funds. It's only been funded at 10% of what it should be in the last 10 years. And we've really got to work on that stuff. And we know the money's there. We just have been giving it away to corporate special interests consistently. Governor Ducey signed away another $107 million in corporate tax cuts that do nothing just this year alone.
Joe, any education questions for the senator?
You mentioned this morning the collapse of a roof in TUSD in 2013. Is that indicative of what parents should expect at other schools in town?
Well, that's what's happening. I went to a great presentation by the TUSD facilities manager about a month ago, and he went through and talked about the $180 million that have not been paid. According to formula, we should have gotten $180 million more just for TUSD over the last 10 years, and we haven't gotten it. And what that means is they're literally holding things together with duct tape, and that's not really working anymore. They're doing everything they can with the 10% of the budget that they've been given. But at some point, you have to take care of life safety issues as well as keep the teachers in place and stop giving away money, tax cuts that haven't done anything for our economy.
Where was this roof collapse? Or
from what he was saying, it was a Korea school and there were kids in the classroom at the time.
But no one was hurt?
No one was hurt.
Thank goodness. And this was a while ago? Or
2013.
Okay. Back to the live line, there's a transportation question for Senator Farley about rail service. This comes in from Tony. Tony, what is on your mind, please?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm getting older now. I'm in my 60s, and driving to Tucson with an extra lane sounds great for younger people, but I would like to see a light rail system. Amtrak runs through Tucson, and it runs through Flagstaff, but there's no Amtrak line running from Tucson to Phoenix. I don't know why we can't have. I think that would be great for businesses. Is it because the car dealerships run this state? Is that why there's so much money against light rail?
Well, as a guy who spends a lot of time on I-10 between Tucson and Phoenix, trust me, it's not great for younger people or older people to be on that road all the time. I was actually almost killed by a dust storm in 2013 when I watched three people die in front of me. When it was absolutely horrifying when you're caught in one of those things where it totally goes blank and the trucks are still going 75 miles an hour. It's bad news. We need to have alternatives between Tucson and Phoenix, and I've actually been pushing for that rail service between Tucson and Phoenix for a long time. We finally, after a five-year process, we finished in January a preliminary engineering environmental impact study from ADOT to look at that, and we have the route decided. We have some estimates on the costs. I'm convinced that this is something that we can actually find a public-private partnership to get a private sector company to be able to subsidize it. In fact, what I would love to see would be a Tucson-Phoenix to Vegas train. Casinos have enough money to spend billions just destroying themselves. They could certainly put some money in the train, and then you've got a captive audience in a club
cost?
Car.
What would that cost? Yeah, it'd be a party train.
Exactly.
You could pay
the money for the whole thing just by charging $20 martinis all the way.
Yeah.
So this could be a great way of getting that infrastructure.
What would that cost, do you think?
It depends on what type. Are you looking at all electric? Or are you looking at diesel-powered independent? There's a range, but we're looking at somewhere between $8 and $10 billion would be what you're looking at to make that happen.
The Las Vegas Metropolitan Visitors Bureau could probably write a check today for that.
Well, and then if you look at the real estate development rights at the stations along the way, another thing I've talked with engineers that say that if you actually roof the whole thing over with solar panels, you could generate twice the electricity from solar energy than you need to operate the electric train, and thus you could sell the electric off to the side. So that invokes the possibility of a utility being a partner as well. There's a lot of ways you can do this creatively, and I've talked with some people who are interested, but Governor Ducey has not been interested remotely. I even talked with the Chinese high-speed rail company, the largest one, Shandong High Speed. I went there and talked with the CEO. They were saying that they were actually interested in all the way Guaymas, Tucson, Phoenix, Vegas, and they would be willing to build it themselves with their money. They just needed to have a conversation with the governor and maybe get a tour of Arizona, and I talked that to the governor's office about that, and I got crickets.
I imagine you might hear from some environmentalists as well about how much they would not approve of essentially a solar panel field that was hundreds of miles long going through the desert.
Well,
that would be a lot more obtrusive than even a rail line.
When you consider that it would be taking people off of a highway that's much more intrusive environmentally and putting them on to electric powered train from solar panels, they would be going probably in the same corridor as I-10, so it wouldn't be going through Virgin Desert.
We have
a lot cheaper to do that.
A listener who says Amtrak right now runs between Phoenix and Tucson.
Well, Phoenix in quotes, it actually runs between the town of Maricopa.
Oh.
So that isn't exactly Phoenix, and it's not.
In Maricopa County.
No, it's and that's what's interesting about it. But the there have been talks, and there were talks before Governor Ducey took over of ADOT with Amtrak to try to get a better service and get daily service back and forth, where there was at least one train up and one train back, mm-hmm. in the morning and the evening. But then they cut off that conversation with Amtrak and have it go actually within Phoenix, because some of that right away we do own.
All right, let's take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, State Senator Steve Farley, and yours truly, Bill Buckmaster. Be right back, 12:19. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, our monthly visit with former United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham, plus the Monday political face-off with commentators Jim Kelly and Aaron Rottenstein. Buckmaster, AM 1030, noon to 1, worldwide live listening, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday focus interview today. State Senator Steve Farley, who has been sharing with us how his run for Arizona governor is going. Of course, Senator Farley is a Democrat. Let's bring in our two guest reporters with us, Dylan Smith, editor-publisher, TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. And Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Joe covers primarily politics, right? But you cover a little of everything, but mainly politics.
Mainly politics,
Mainly politics. All right, Dylan, you're up to the plate. Go ahead with Steve Farley.
Well, we were talking a little bit during the break while we're hearing from those fine Buckmaster Show sponsors about, and that puts money in Bill's pocket.
Thank you.
A little bit, which is a good thing. We were talking about fundraising for your campaign, and Isn't this getting just a little bit expensive to run for office?
It's very expensive to run for office, and I'm up against the Koch brothers' golden boy.
You were talking about raising $8 to $10 million. Where does all that money go?
Well, it's
you're not paying off journalists in the right way. So,
no. Sorry, you're going to have to call my staff.
No.
The idea is we've got to have to go up against a whole bunch of people who are just going to put a bunch of lies about me on TV and go wall to wall. That's the way it operates.
What are they going to say? How liberal you are?
Oh, they usually just go with something like I'm the buddy of Nancy Pelosi or something like that. That's the typical way. But, you know, I've written 277 Farley reports over the last 11 years. I'm sure they'll find a few sentences out of context and throw them up there. I heard from Fred Duval last time that they spent $200,000 on opposition research on him. So there's a journalist job. I can do that one. But, you know, they've got a lot of money. That's the thing. Governor Ducey was just in Colorado Springs at the Koch brothers' retreat this weekend, actually making an astonishing admission where he got up. The Denver Post did an article where they quoted him as saying that without the Koch brothers' power of the network, that he would have never been able to get the voucher bill through. Which he tried to say in Arizona was good for the kids, but in Colorado Springs he was saying was good for the Koch brothers because basically it eliminates public education and lowers their taxes.
I guarantee you will be called a tax and spend Democrat.
Well, that would be interesting because one of the things that I'm looking at doing is lowering the sales tax by a full percent and increasing education spending by $2 billion at the same time per year. And that you can do if you go after some of these 331 tax loopholes in the sales tax code that have been put in place by corporate special interests, many of them out-of-state corporations, to be able to give themselves a break because they can afford a high-priced lobbyist, and small businesses in Arizona can't afford to do that.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Richard would like to speak with Mr. Farley. Senator Farley. Go ahead, Richard.
Thank you, Bill. I just wanted to say, in general, that Steve is a far superior candidate to Fred Duval, the last person who ran. I couldn't even remember who he was a couple months after the election, but Steve is so knowledgeable. He's dug in. He's smart. He's what we need. And I'm real hopeful for you, Steve. I think you're going to have a great chance of winning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Richard. I'm not taking anything for granted, though. I'm out there everywhere all the time. I'm looking at this as an opportunity for an 18-month road trip. Because I think the more I can talk with people, the more people understand who I am and what I stand for and my record and my experience and what I can do from day one in office, the more people know that there's hope for Arizona again.
Fred Duval's campaign never really got traction.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone ever paid any attention to him until 2 months before the election, and that was hard to define yourself.
Let's go to Joe Ferguson of the Star.
You've been critical of the ESAs, so talk to me about a Farley administration in terms of what you would do to rescind those.
Well, that's easy enough because they had one bill to put it into place, 1431, which right now there's a referendum effort to try to force that onto the ballot so we can vote it down in November 2018.
An acronym was used. Would you please?
ESAs, that's the voucher bill. They call them empowerment scholarship accounts, which is a little bit too propagandistic for my taste. What they actually do is allow any parent in the state to take $5,400 in a debit card from their neighborhood public school and then put it into a home school or a parochial school or a private school of their choice, presuming they can afford the extra $10,000 or $15,000 a year to go to a private school. And there's no accountability whatsoever for this measure. Governor Ducey said that it was just an experiment for 6 years. I don't know how you can say that it's a good thing to experiment on a child for the six most important years of their education career. That's just wrong, especially when you've seen the studies on these systems, where a couple of other states have had them. And the people who have done those studies are astonished by the results and how bad they are. Most of the studies are agreeing that in the first year after a kid switches from a public school to a private school on vouchers, their achievement scores are cut in half, literally in half, from 50% to 25% in the percentile on math scores alone. It's an experiment that is doomed to failure, and it starves our public schools more, and they've been cut by 21% since 2009. We can't have that. So I'm going to roll that back immediately. There's no doubt that can be rolled back. And I think we have enough votes to be able to make it happen in the legislature.
Joe, did you have any kind of a follow-up for Senator Farley?
Yeah, I'd love to hear about how you get majority in the Republican-controlled House and Senate.
Well, one of the things I want to do while running for governor is not be the only person that wins. I think there's a real opportunity in this wave year because we're seeing our Democratic organizer-in-chief at the White House get more Democrats out to meetings than I have seen ever. Our PCs, who are the ground troops that are actually going door-to-door and talking with people and convincing them, have increased by 240% since November. When I go to some of these LD meetings, the legislative district meetings, where they gather every month, I've seen meetings with as many as 250 people there. This is not an election year. This is an off year. And that kind of energy is huge. People are already going door-to-door now. Introducing themselves, saying, hey, I'm a Democrat, what's on your mind? And by the time we're going there and selling a candidate, I think people will have the trust built. So that's going to extend to the legislature as well. And I've been raising money into the state party to help that because we need to have everybody on board. And I'm convinced that not only can I become governor, I think we can get a majority in the Senate. We may not get a majority in the House, but I think it'll be a more reasonable amount of people. And I think given the backlash on Republicans, independents, and Democrats alike to these education privatization efforts, there's going to be a different vibe in 2019 when we go into session.
So it's the anti-Trump folks that are really energized, you're saying?
Yeah, but even some of the pro-Trump people are de-energized. Mm-hmm. So there's a combination there. There's a fair amount of Trump supporters who voted for him because they thought he would be different, and then he started appointing the Wall Street bankers to his cabinet. And then they started noticing what this healthcare stuff is going on and that they may actually lose their coverage. Or one of the things I saw was that 62% of the people on Altex, which is the long-term care for people who don't have enough money to pay for long-term care, which is most of us, would be kicked out of long-term care. And we were looking at the specter of people with dementia and Alzheimer's being kicked to the streets.
Has the governor said anything yet about the healthcare plan? In Washington.
We hear he's behind the scenes trying to agitate because he doesn't like the idea of running for re-election on the platform of kicking 800,000 people off of health care or paying $7 billion over the next 8 years. But he is publicly saying Obamacare is evil and I'm glad we're getting rid of it. He hasn't spoken out strongly to say what needs to happen and what's changed. It's sort of these behind the scenes letters.
Arizona Republic on Wednesday was urging some kind of response because they were saying that he has been silent to that point anyway about what's going on in Washington with health.
And he's been silent about when Trump pulled out of the climate change accords, which is outrageous for a governor of Arizona where we're on the front lines. That's a direct attack on the people of Arizona. We've already seen the wildfires, the heat, the agriculture industry, $17 billion industry at risk if we don't do something to help mitigation. We got to get right in it, and if Governor Ducey should be joining the climate change accords himself.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. State Senator Steve Farley, thank you very much. What about your website?
Go to farleyforarizona.com. It's kind of a cool little video, and you can get involved and sign up to volunteer, and let's make this thing happen.
Are you available then to speak to groups too?
Always, always. Contact me on the website. I will talk to anyone anytime. I don't say no.
Steve Farley, thank you very much. 12:32 on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday roundtable continues. We're going to talk with Joe Ferguson of The Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We're going to talk about, among other things, the CD2 race. We have another Democrat officially in as of last night. He made his announcement, I believe, at the Shanty here in Tucson. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts, book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie, what movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We've done our Friday Focus interview. Now it's time for the portion of the program we call the Friday Roundtable. A new member of the Roundtable, and we welcome him today, Joe Ferguson. Joe, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Dylan Smith is here. Dylan is a longtime favorite here on the Buckmaster Show.
I'm not quite sure what that means. But okay.
Editor, publisher, founder of the very popular, now in its eighth year, I believe, of online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Let's begin with Joe, since Joe, you had a piece prominently in the paper today, page two, about Bruce Wheeler. Bruce is making it official that he is now joining six, seven candidates
for
Democrats.
11,
so my question for you, Joe, what is Bruce hoping to bring to the table that perhaps would separate him from the pack?
Bruce is relying on the fact that he's been here for quite some time. His ties to the legislature date back to 80s. So, I mean, Bruce really feels like he's a Tucsonan who knows Tucson, has name recognition, and understands Tucson's issues. And he feels that some of the other people who've jumped into the race have just jumped into the race for, you know, vanity reasons. So,
Wheeler's first stint in politics was as a councilman back in the maybe even the late 80s. I can't quite recall when he was elected. Early 90s,
yeah.
Definitely. So he's had a been paying attention to a lot of these things for a good long while. Has some decent name recognition. Of course, unfortunately, beyond whatever somebody's public policy positions and their abilities as a politician are, it really just comes down to the ability to fundraise. And he hasn't had a great deal of traction the last couple times he's tried to run for Congress with that. As it happens to so many people, it's kind of, whoever gets there first to the pot of money wins. And it's going to be at this point, at least, a pretty crowded Democratic primary, and might even get a little bit more crowded.
And I think, and I know Steve was talking about this kind of the anti-Trump thing, but I think to really win that district, Joe Ferguson, there's got to be more than just I hate Trump.
I agree, but we'll see. I mean, Bruce made it very clear that he's getting into the race because he's concerned about Trump, so, and healthcare and some of the other policies that are in place there. But how that resonates in Coconino County or Cheese County, we'll see.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, here's a district where the Republican incumbent, she hasn't been there that long, but she's an incumbent now, was reelected with the largest margin in that district that we've seen in years and years. And yet CD2 went for Hillary Clinton rather than Donald Trump by a pretty significant margin, about 5 points. Mm-hmm. So there is still, an opportunity for a really good Democratic candidate to challenge Martha McSally for that seat.
We just got a tweet, by the way, from the governor's office. They were listening to Senator Farley. Senator Farley the tweet is from Teron Sinclair, who works with the governor. Steve Farley talks about Dem PCs will help him win. PCs outnumber Dems almost 2-1.
He's saying that the Republican precinct committee members are more numerous than the Democrats?
I guess that's what he's referring to. I'm not quite sure what PC stands for.
Well, that's the precinct committee person.
Oh, okay.
The lowest level of government official one could possibly come up with.
But okay.
There are, for both parties, tons and tons of empty seats. It's pretty rare to see even the number that we have right now. And Democrats have been, especially here in Pima County, signing up PCs at a pretty record pace. But still, there are precincts that, have a majority of them sitting empty.
Sure. Yeah. That's just the way it works with gerrymandered districts.
Yeah.
And we're glad that the governor's office is listening. Of course, our invitation to the governor to be on the program here in the future certainly is extended. Let's leave politics for a second. Dylan, a Pima County Sheriff's Deputy, i.e. assigned to the jail.
A corrections officer.
Thank you. Corrections
CO.
Office. CO. Was charged with assault. Is this correct?
Indeed. Last month, according to what we've learned from the Sheriff's Department, a corrections officer at the Pima County Jail got a little bit mad at a juvenile inmate who was mouthing off and struck him twice. And the kid was handcuffed, waiting for medical attention after a fight between some of the juveniles who are housed there. And went a little bit overboard, maybe even quite a bit overboard. That's really not what somebody's supposed to be doing, that
and
kind of situation.
And has actually been charged
with
assault.
And is facing two charges of criminal aggravated assault in the case after an investigation. Another CO who didn't cooperate with the probe, both the administrative inquiry and the criminal investigation, was fired. And we found out about this from a news release yesterday, but the Sheriff's Department didn't include the names of the CO who was fired or the name of the one who has been charged with a crime in relation to this incident.
And that's going to get reporters' interest.
I mean, really, reporters are kind of lazy. Don't make us ask questions. That just kind of makes us mad.
Yeah.
So after some pressure from me trying to, ask him, well, who is this and why are you not telling us who in your department is facing a criminal charge? After some pressure from me and from the Star reporter, Caitlin Schmidt, they finally, after hours, released the names of these two. They didn't have any justification to try and withhold that from the public. And we're still wondering what happened there. When a news release comes out of the Sheriff's Department or pretty much any government agency, there are many, many people who review it. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that gets, typed up and quickly tossed out, especially for something like this. Mm. So you got to wonder what was the thought process behind them saying, not only not including the names, but responding when we asked that they weren't going to tell us. Hmm. And it was only after some pressure that they finally said, here are the names of these people.
It's like file a request, right? Public records request. Oh, boy.
So it's, they kind of blew it up into an even bigger story than it is. It's certainly an issue, and we've seen over the past several months, especially some rather prominent incidents take place at the Pima County Jail, but trying to sort of gloss over the fact that a law enforcement officer is facing criminal charges for assaulting allegedly a kid in the jail is interesting. Piques my curiosity.
How was that investigative meeting up in Phoenix that you were attending? Because you're one of the leaders of the, I always forget your title with the investigative journalist.
Well, that I'm just a member of. It was a kind of a trio of journalism conferences, and Joe was up there himself speaking about public records, incidentally.
Oh,
enough,
really?
Which he's an expert on digging into things. Mm-hmm. And it was the investigative reporters and editors conference, which is held every 10 years in Phoenix in memory of Don Bowles,
who I was going to say it has to be held in a city where the average temperature is over 120 degrees. But,
Don Bowles was the Republic reporter who was assassinated back in 1976.
So let me ask.
And then there were two other groups: Lion Publishers, the local independent online news publishers group,
which you are the.
I'm one of the people who founded that.
Founder.
And the Institute for Nonprofit News, another group that I'm a member of. And it was a great gathering of really, really smart journalists trying to share information about making us better.
So, Joe, let me ask you, since you're an expert on this public records area, is that a trend in cities to kind of withhold these things and make reporters' jobs harder?
It feels like it gets worse every year.
Really?
Legislature doesn't help with new bills that make it even harder to get records out, and it just seems to be a constant fight that just gets worse and worse.
And this is something, it's not, it's our bread and butter as reporters, trying to find information, get, documents that prove or disprove that things have happened. But, it's the right of every citizen to know just what the heck their government is doing that is at risk when, government officials are able to cover things up.
Let's go to the live line. Tom has called us at 790-2040, and I think he's got an interesting question to share with us. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, can enough money on the part of the governor win the wage race for the governor?
You're saying basically can Doug Ducey, the governor, outspend his opponents, I think is what you're getting at, Tom.
Yes.
Yes. And I mean, right now we heard Senator Farley say that he's having Joe and Dylan to rely pretty much on, as he called it, I think he characterized, small donations. But to make this thing really work, what was the figure he threw out? Eight
or $10 million bucks.
Million dollars. You're going to need more than just small donors. You're going to need some big money.
Well, he also said that he's going to be fundraising out of state, which opens up even more small donors. But, you know, we've seen elections that are won with big money. We've seen elections that there's a lot of spending and they lost. So money's a part of it, but it might not be the entire lifeblood of a campaign.
You know, if Doug Ducey completely outspends anybody who's challenging him, you know, yeah, money is a huge factor. If the eventual Democratic challenger, whether it's Farley or Garcia or if somebody else jumps in, is able to get near enough to be able to, well, you know, keep gas in the car and keep going around shaking hands and also, you know, get the message out, you know, that narrows the, you know, that advantage of incumbency.
But we've seen, like, in 14 where money just saturates a field to the point where they've bought out the ad market.
Yeah.
And there's no room left for any more ads. So there's a finite amount of money you can actually spend.
You said we've seen candidates who really far outspent their opponents and hadn't really had a successful run. Do any names kind of come to you where somebody had spent a lot of money and it just didn't work for them?
I'm thinking national races.
Yeah, national races.
So
all right. Dylan, thank you very much.
Absolutely. And always a pleasure.
We'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. And Joe Ferguson, we will look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Do you have any stories coming up that we can look for on the Sunday edition?
I believe I'll have yet another story about South Tucson and what's going on in that tiny little
You've been doing
burp.
A great job that digging into that.
That little hamlet, is it 1 square mile?
1 square mile.
So what's the – I've got a minute or so, don't I, Tom? Speaking of South Tucson, what's the deal? Is that going to be – can you kind of boil this down, distill it for our listeners? Is it going to become a part of something, city, whatever?
It's a long road ahead. Becoming not a city anymore is a long process.
I mean, decidifying, whatever –
Deincorporation.
Thank you.
And it's a long ways off. It requires essentially a vote by the public to say, yeah, we're better off as a county island or maybe being annexed by the city of Tucson years down the road. And with the city of South Tucson being so famous for being, you know, a low-tax city, that's going to be a hard sell for the residents down there.
I didn't know the process that folks would then have to vote on it, right?
It's a pretty long...
They would have to uncharter themselves, basically.
And I wonder... if that's been done or done for a long time in this state.
I've talked to League of City and Towns, and they say there's just no roadmap for it.
There's no precedent for this.
No.
Interesting stuff. Joe Ferguson, we'll look for your work. Thank you very much. Thanks again, Dylan. All right, we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. Some good weekend tips, how to stay cool and enjoy a good meal at the same time. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business. Food and beverage writer, columnist, Mr. Matt Russell, also award-winning publicist brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway, especially with these very hot temperatures here in Tucson. It's cooler over in Silver City because of their mile-high elevation. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of the several dozen great recreation opportunities, and a like number of great places to stay, and again, only 3 hours drive approximately from Tucson. Let's welcome now on the live line the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm a big TGIF. How about you, Bill?
Doing real well. I heard there's something going on over at the Yellow Brick Coffee.
There is. You know, we talk a lot about craft beer and craft spirits here on the Weekend Watch, but there's a lot of buzz about the craft of coffee roasting these days. And our friends, as you said, from Yellow Brick Coffee, they're going to be hosting a Roasting 101 class tomorrow from noon to 1. Now, you're going to learn about the art and science of roasting, how the fragrance and flavors in the beans actually get unlocked in that roasting process, and the many different styles of roasting. This is definitely a hands-on class, but the best part is that you will leave with a bag of coffee that you actually roasted yourself.
Wow!
All of that for only $35. It's tomorrow at noon at Yellow Brick, 3220 South Dodge.
And you're going to go home with that wonderful aroma of coffee all over you, which I love the smell of coffee. Talking about coffee, what about the brewers?
Yeah, you know, I remember talking about the 1912 Brewing Company on Weekend Watch when they first opened their doors. I can't believe that they'll be celebrating their second anniversary at a big event tomorrow from noon to 10. Now, these kinds of events are fun because there's always some special edition and commemorative brews available. And with every pint you drink, a portion of the proceeds will go to Make-A-Wish Arizona. There's also going to be games and raffle prizes, live music, food trucks. The brewery is at 2045 North Forbes Boulevard, so swing by for some celebratory suds.
How about Independence Week? We've got some great local restaurants and retailers who fall into that category, Matt.
I absolutely love this time of year, and as we approach Independence Day next week, several local of these businesses, retailers, restaurants, are celebrating their independence by offering 20% off from tomorrow through next week. So all you have to do is visit localfirstaz.com. You print out the golden coupon, and you start taking advantage of the savings. Now, some of the participants this year include Hotel Congress, Rincon Valley Farmers Market, and one of your favorites, Bill Buckmaster, Vero Amore.
Yay! I love Vero Amore. In fact, I'll get a Vero Amore pizza tonight. So that's
what a coincidence. Yeah. I say, let freedom ring.
All right. And Matt, I love the Uncle Sam suit. I know you get it out once a year. It's so appropriate for this week.
I even ironed the pleats. How does it look?
Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Matt Russell, the host of Weekend Watch. I want to tell you about an event that is KVOI-sponsored. Come see The Buccaneer, the movie The Buccaneer, with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner, Tuesday, the 4th of July. The doors open 11 in the morning, University Park Hotel, 880 East 2nd Street, admission only $5, burgers, dogs, beer available, raffle to benefit the Tucson Pops Orchestra, and there will be a national anthem sing-along. Check it out on the 4th of July, 11 a.m. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of The Buckmaster Show. Original theme music from Christophon, the fine German composer who has composed original theme music for us here on the program. So many people to thank, especially the folks here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks, specifically today, and every Friday, my engineer producer, and Ray Allen does such a great job for me Monday through Thursday on the other side of the glass. But really, the whole team here at KVOI, very supportive of the work of the Buckmaster Show, and of course, my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Thank you, Rose, for your work. On behalf of all of us, hope you have a great weekend. Be back on Monday.